The committee organising what they hope will be the greatest rock show ever seen in London as part of the Queen's Silver Jubilee celebrations have run into a problem. One of the major names on the bill was to have been the Beach Boys, but the California group has now withdrawn. Evidently, they believe that they'd be sharing the bill with McCartney's Wings and backing Paul for part of his act. But McCartney has made it clear that he isn't interested in live work this year, so the Beach Boys have decided to pull out. Other names expected to be announced for the big show are Jefferson Starship, James Taylor, Carly Simon, the Doobie Brothers, and Stevie Winwood. But even this lineup isn't considered strong enough for the occasion, and negotiations are proceeding with several international acts. Another Jubilee concert featuring British acts only is now expected to be headlined by Peter Frampton, who is currently in Electric Ladyland Studios completing his new album. Stevie Winwood's first solo album should be released in mid-May. Advance reports from those who've heard the tapes vary from enthusiastic to ecstatic. Keith Richard has been talking in Toronto about the future plans of the Rolling Stones. He told a journalist that the legendary group's recent small club gigs in Canada had convinced them that they should do more of this sort of thing in future. "What's strange," said Keith, "is that you realize you've become used to the distance between the band and the audience. And it's frightening to think of that protective barrier being taken away. But as soon as we went in at the club, it felt perfectly natural." Keith said that the club dates did a lot for the band musically, adding, "There's no other way to go. The future has to be in smaller places." As we mentioned earlier, tracks from the Canadian club shows will be on the new album, the first live LP from the Stones since Get Your Ya-Ya's Out in 1969. Although the band has not decided if classics already on Ya-Ya's will be repeated, it looks as if three sides will be culled from the 74 tour of America and the 76 European tour, and that there'll be one funky side from the club dates in Canada. The new album from Jeff Beck and the Jan Hammer Group has fallen into the hands of one of Britain's top music writers, Pete Makovsky, who takes time off in his review to remind readers of the role played by Beck in the advancement of rock music. Makovsky writes, "Some of us weren't around or musically aware enough to appreciate Beck in his apparent heyday. But if you look back with a clear, unbiased view, he came across as an axeman who wouldn't let the technical limitations of the time hinder him from exploring futuristic possibilities. Like Hendrix, he had the perception and ability to convince audiences that he was a new age genius of the electric order." That said, the critic turns his attention to the new album. He says he was disappointed at first hearing, having expected an amplified Battle of the Giants. But when he realized that Beck and Hammer were not interested in ego tripping, he approached the album on its own terms and discovered a very happy partnership of the ivory and the fretboard, with some great moments. Following Peter Gabriel's very successful concerts in New York comes news from the West Coast of the triumph of Peter's former group, Genesis. This band had previously boasted strong cult followings on the East Coast and in Canada, but has apparently gained thousands of fans in the South and West of America during their current tour. A rock writer from Melody Maker, who saw Genesis perform to 18,000 people in Los Angeles, says that the audience ovation was tumultuous. The critic writes, "They played with the brilliance and fire that made it one of those magic performances where everything works, band, music, and effects. Their show has evolved into a fast, slick, and powerful presentation, and California has taken Genesis to its bosom." We've heard that the band's next album will be a live double LP recorded during tours over the past 18 months. 10cc will soon release a new album, their first since the band split late last year. It's called Deceptive Bends. And next month, Cat Stevens releases his first album for more than a year, called Is That So? It features more than 20 session musicians, including Chick Corea and Andy Newmark. During a break from their current American tour, the Kinks played one show in London, and the reaction of the critics varied. We've seen the reviews from Britain's four top music weeklies, and the score is 2-4, 1 against, and 1 undecided. Melody Maker says the band has survived critical indifference to their various exploits over recent years, and have consistently refused to relinquish any of their unique musical character or their occasionally whimsical and quintessentially English individuality. And I love them for it. The writer remarks on the excellence of the band's new songs, and says the old hits were played with an engaging vigor and conviction, which is exactly the opposite of what the man from the New Musical Express thought. He claims that the Kinks were lackadaisical, boring, and treated their old hits with a complete lack of respect and authority. Sounds magazine agrees that the old numbers were thrown away, but considers that the band made up for this with their presentation of new material. The writer from Record Mirror liked most of the show, especially what he called the fresh, simple, and evocative numbers from their latest album. A critic from the British rock magazine Sounds caught the Hollywood performance by Sea Level, the band formed by Chuck Leavell when the Allman Brothers split became public knowledge. The writer reports that the approach of the band reminds one of the Allmans, but that this new quartet touches corners the Allmans never did, particularly in guitar keyboard harmonizing. The report continues, it is Chuck Leavell's songwriting which really made the band work, and his voice is perhaps even more convincing than Greg's was on ballads and blues, while his playing is certainly more advanced, as Allman has admitted. And while we're taking note of what the critics think, a few words from New Musical Express on the new Cliff Richard album, Every Face Tells a Story. It's tight and snappy, very impressive, the critic says, and adds that with this second album, Cliff is well on the way to eliminating the tendency of rock fans to snigger at the mention of his name. I thought you might like to know what the music and film critics in Britain have been saying about A Star Is Born, the Streisand-Christofferson remake of the old film. I understand that many American critics were unimpressed, but it would be surprising if any of them were more scathing than some of the reviewers here in London. A popular headline for a newspaper review was, "The Star is a Yawn." That was in at least two papers, and a slight variation was, "The Star is Corn." We haven't seen one favourable review, and critics from the music press are aghast at the thought of anybody believing that what is shown on the screen has anything to do with the rock scene. I can hear Barbara Streisand weeping from here as she makes her latest deposit at the bank. We've been informed by a usually reliable source that Bob Marley is in London to complete a new album called Exodus. Our informant reports that the reggae master's visit was supposed to be a secret, but that his cover was blown when local police arrested him on suspicion of drugs possession. And that's all until our next rock report from London. Goodbye.